Well, give it a try. This is the news, according to me. I got this new funky music. I'm not sure about it yet. I'm still not sure about it. I keep saying it every day. I'm gonna let this go for. I'm gonna give it a month, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the news according to me. It is 6:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is Monday. Whatever day is this? The 23rd? Is that what this is already? Is it already the 23rd of February? I believe it is 2026, and I have I am in Columbus as previously mentioned. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I am surprised I'm in Columbus, Ohio, actually, the way the weather has been. I had some East Coast traveling to do, and believe it or not, it actually ended up being East Coast traveling that I did. There was a little less than I thought I was going to do. I ended up, was supposed to be in D.C. quite a bit yesterday, ended up not being in D.C. very long. Got out of there, and then I ended up in Columbus last night, earlier than I was expecting to be. So that all worked out okay. I was able to get some dinner, and now I'm heading back to Chicago. Actually, going home today. That's the plan. I should be home this afternoon. So the rest of this week, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, normal shows. Thursday morning, normal show. Friday morning, not so sure. I might be in Waterloo, Iowa. On Friday morning, I'm spending a lot of time in Waterloo, Iowa this weekend, this coming week. Actually, about three nights in a row, I will be in Waterloo, Iowa. If anybody knows anything to do in Waterloo, Iowa, let me know, because I think it's going to be probably one of the most, I'm not going to say boring, I have plenty to do. Don't get me wrong. I just, there's nothing to do there. There's not a whole lot to do in the area. Maybe possibly eat. I'm not even sure that's even what I'm not even sure. Not sure where I'm staying, so I'm not sure exactly what is in that particular area. The should be an interesting time. So this week should be pretty normal. Pretty normal week as far as the show goes. Every day. Now, next couple of days, not today, of course, but the next couple of days. Now, interestingly enough, in my cup this morning, I have no cup. I have a thermos, and in my thermos, I have some sweet tea. That's all I have. In fact, it's leftover sweet tea from, I'm not sure if I can reach it, leftover sweet tea from the Chick-fil-A. I went to a Chick-fil-A recently. And it wasn't yesterday, obviously, it was Saturday. Got a sweet tea. And it's a couple days old. Still doing okay, though. It's still doing okay. My only backup is some water this morning. I don't have any chai, believe it or not. My room does not have a microwave. If I had a microwave in my room, there would be a cup of chai sitting here. But in order to get a cup of chai, I have to go out of my room. And down a couple floors to a microwave that's downstairs, which is actually they have hot water down there. Actually, and that's like the they call it the M room. It's the Emerald. I'm in a Crown Plaza. I think it's a Crown Plaza, whatever it is. They got like the Emerald Club or whatever they have. What the thing that they call it. So I'm in this place and not sure exactly. Didn't have a whole lot of time here last night. However, I had didn't get to sleep super early, simply because by the time I had dinner and supper, it was probably 9 o'clock, 9:30, something like 9:15, and then got ready for bed, and of course then called home and all that stuff. And by the time I got to sleep, it was about 11 o'clock. So anyway, so. Didn't have a whole lot of time to sleep last night. I am still in bed this morning. This is actually the show. I think this is the first time I've ever done the show from bed. However, I think I did actually do the show one time with my laptop from bed. I think maybe possibly. I'm not positive. I have a different system I'm using with this particular since I've got the caller thing, and of course I'm not going to be using that this morning. But I've got this. I've been using this remote recorder that I carry with me now. It's a little separate recorder, and I can just plug that into my computer. And it's got an SD card in it, so I just put that SD card into my computer, and then I can run that file directly into my program, into my DAO, and I can make it all work. So it works great. Anyway, we've got all that stuff out of the way. All the housekeeping stuff, you know, the stuff that's important to you to know. Because, you know, you need to be in the know. You need to know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm not, very transparent about what's going on behind the scenes. Anyway, interesting thing happened over the weekend. Bernie Sanders was asked. This guy wanted to be president. People actually wanted this guy to be president. The guy is such a phony, and it's a typical Democrat, typical style of the elite within what's called a democratic socialism system. Bernie Sanders is a millionaire, by the way. He owns, in fact, multimillionaire now. A lot of property he owns. He's had a lot of book sales. He has a lot of money in the bank. You don't see him giving any of that money back. To those who have a great, what is it? From each according to their ability, to each according to their need. Well, apparently his ability is pretty high, but he's not willing to give that out to anybody's needs. Democrats tend to be the least givers. Now, they want to give tax money. Don't get me wrong. They want taxes to be doled out to everybody else. They are the least givers. I think was it Joe Biden or Barack Obama? Somebody was. Their yearly giving on their tax report was $900 for the year. That's how much charitable giving they did for the year. I believe it was. I think it was Joe Biden when he was running against. I'm not positive. It wasn't in 2020. I don't think. I can't remember exactly for sure. If AI was here on the spot here, we would probably find that information if I had my little program. And that program, by the way, is going to be buffed up to be a lot better. It's in the testing program right now. It's called an MVP, which is a marginally viable product, and which is where you build it yourself, you kind of make it work. It can be called vibe coding, I guess, if you want to call it that. And so you go into that whole thing with the idea of making the concept work, and then at some point you get a developer to actually make the whole thing spin. So it actually does what it's supposed to do, has the right background, it uses the right tools in the background to make things actually work. Now, of course, if I had an agent, there's a thing called is it OpenClaw? I think it's called OpenClaw Now. It is an autonomous AI agent, and it will do everything you ask it to do as far as, but they're kind of dangerous. They're not something to be played with. I think that they're getting it to the point now where there's some people with some code that have kind of got the thing kind of reined in to where it won't take off and do something crazy with you. Because you have to give it access to a lot of things, and you give it access to your bank account, you can give it access to your calendar, you can give it access to your email, and it goes off on its own and starts doing things if you ask it to do things like sending out emails and sending out or paying bills or whatever it is you do. Well, it can also go off and do other things. Next thing you know, your bank account's empty, or it's done something nefarious that to get the job done. If you ask it to do something, it will do whatever it has to do to make it happen. And that's where things get a little crazy. But at some point, that will probably be a part of my repertoire, part of my future here, with having some kind of deal like that. But I think we're a little ways away from actually making it happen. I think the first person who gets that done and done right, to where everybody can use one, I think it's going to be probably the next, the next billionaire person. The guy who designed OpenClaw has already, I think, been offered $1 billion. Basically, sold out to ChatGPT to make his, I'm going to sort of sell the open. OpenClaw is an open source thing. Anyway, back to Bernie Sanders. I'm going to play this thing just to give you an idea of what this guy is like. talking about the SAVE Act. Now, we're going to talk about Mitch McConnell here a little bit because, you know, Mitch doesn't come out much. And there was somebody the other day that said something about this. I have to totally agree because it goes right along with what I've been saying. That's why I have to agree. Because I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong kind of thing when I'm in an argument. So here's what it looks like for Bernie Sanders when he's coming up.
We've got another big initiative here coming up on the ballot in California. We're talking about a voter ID. Just wondering how.
No, you're not talking about voter ID. That's the way Trump defines it. But you're talking about. Now, I don't know about California's initiative, but I do know what's going on in Washington.
Isn't about California.
Some geniuses think that before you can, maybe I have it wrong here, register to vote, you need a passport or your birth certificate. Do you have a passport or your birth certificate?
At the moment.
Now I want to point out something. They're showing Bernie here. Okay, he's got socks that go all the way up his calves. And the reason I know that is because his pants barely go over his knees when he's sitting down. I just don't. This is part of his shtick, folks. This is part of his deal. He wants to just look like this common guy who's just so busy doing stuff for the homeless, for those who need health care. So busy doing that. Doesn't have time to really take care of himself and wear, you know, stylish clothing and wear something that fits, which is ridiculous. It's a caricature of who he. It's a portrayal. This whole thing is he's a phony individual, first of all. That's where he's at. Now, yeah, so he asked this lady about her passport. He said, do I have a passport right now? Kind of a weird response. Somebody asked me if I have a passport. Yeah, I have a passport. What's so shocking about the question? I guess that kind of surprises me that she. Let's go back and listen to this again as he asked her this question.
Do you have a passport or a birth certificate?
At the moment?
Do you?
I do.
Right.
I have
but millions of people.
Now, I don't know if she's.
I don't have my birth certificate.
If the question is kind of like what is the definition of is? Is this a Bill Clinton moment? Do you have a passport? Well, on me? You mean like right now? Do I have a passport? Like, can I present it to you? Is that what you're asking? No, that's not. Yeah, I have a passport. I have a passport. Do you have a passport? Yes, I have a passport. He didn't say, can you show me your passport? Do you have your passport on you right now? He didn't ask the question that way. And yet she deferred to that. I guess. I'm not sure if that's what she was doing or not. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. This is just for entertainment only. It's just my opinions. But however, I don't know what she was thinking here.
Do you?
I do.
Right,
I have,
but millions of people don't.
Millions of people don't.
God knows how I get it. So it's an intentional.
Look, did you hear that?
It's one thing. I don't have my birth certificate. God knows how I get it. So it's an intentional effort. It's one thing to say ID, sure. But a passport, really? How many people out there have a passport? How many people have access to your birth certificate? So, you know, the Republican Party is in trouble for a lot of reasons. Like,
first of all, you don't have to have your birth certificate or your passport in order to register to vote. I don't know where he's getting that. And of course, now that your passport, your birth certificate is not going to be the same as your current name. This whole thing is blown way out of whack. What they're saying, they're all saying this. And of course, if you want to get ID, you just go down to the license bureau and they'll give you a free, you don't have to have a driver's license. You just get an ID. They give you an ID for free. In Indiana, you get an ID for free. If you want an ID, you get it free. It's paid for. Doesn't cost you anything. And then all they do is verify. You have a couple forms of ID. I think you have to show up with, I think in that case, you do have to have a birth. I'm not sure if you have to have a birth certificate, something. You also have to have a couple of bills, like your, say, an electric bill and something else in your address, with your address name on it, name and address on it. There's some qualifying stuff that has to have that, because they vet those people as well. It's a process, not that difficult. It can be done in a short period of time, and then you get your registration, and then you do your thing. And Bernie Sanders, being the bureaucrat that he is, doesn't understand how to get his birth certificate. It blows my mind that this guy would not know how to get a birth certificate, or, oh, God knows how old one. Well, gee, Mr. Bureaucrat, you would think, you would have some kind of ability to find out. Maybe you just Google it, Bernie. You could just Google the thing. If you Google, how do I get my birth certificate? There you go. That's one way you can do it. Or talk to one of your government programs.
For working people off of healthcare.
Oh, here we go. Tax Sopranos.
People out there have a pass. How many people have access to your birth certificate? So, the Republican Party is in trouble for a lot of reasons. They give tax breaks to billionaires, throw working people off of healthcare, people don't like that, et cetera, et cetera. So they're coming up ways to try to determine who will be able to vote and not. I don't have my birth certificate.
Now, first of all, is it only Democrats that don't have birth certificates? That's what I'm getting at. Wouldn't this be a hindrance to everybody equally, not just Democrats? And you're telling me that they're fighting for Republicans? The majority of Americans, almost 80% of all Americans across the board, I think it's 70. It's over 70% of Democrats, and well over 80%, I think it's 92% of Republicans. Believe the average is over 80% of Americans believe it's okay to have a voter ID, to show ID in order to vote. Now, how you go about getting that ID and all that stuff, that's all part of this whole argument, I guess. But the vast majority of Americans voting right now have IDs. And it's not going to disenfranchise anyone. If you can afford to make it to the voter booth, you can probably afford to register to vote. If it's that important for the integrity of our voting, and Chuck Schumer, of course, about 30 years ago on the Senate floor, made this argument. Same argument, because they were trying to fight voter ID, fight fraud. And he was all about it. It's a way to address fraud. And yet today, because it's not the woke thing to do, he will not do that. It's just ridiculous how he's gotten into this whole thing. So that's one thing. One of the things that's going on. The other thing. There's other things going on. The tariffs. It's being widely misconstrued. Of course, now Gavin Newsom is out there. A lot of other politicians now, especially people who are in the presidential run, they're going to run against Trump. Is what they're going to run against in the 2026 is going to be an interesting one. This midterm, I think we have the State of the Union coming up, and that usually kind of kicks off the whole. I guess sets the tone, sets something. I don't know. It sets in place the whole. Officially starts the 2026 midterms. So we will see how things go. I have the economy is not as bad as, well, let's put it this way. It's not as bad as it should be. It's not as great as what we would have thought that it would be. It's as great as what the Democrats say it's supposed to be because of what Trump is doing. The thing is, it's not where it didn't tank the way they thought it would tank, and it's. We're in a point right now where it should be a lot softer than it is. The economy should be a lot worse off than it is. Certain sectors have kind of had a little bit of a rough spot. But there's also other sectors that are doing extremely well. And I think that here's what they call the fundamentals are in place and they're doing very well. This is what's driving optimism among those who are in the know, in the market and in what's happening with the economy. There are those who are listening to the fearmongers out there, and they're having issues. So there's this mix of fear and optimism because people who have educated themselves on what's going on with the fundamentals of the economy and how things are set up right now and where we're about to go to. Hopefully it happens before November, the economic turnaround here. Fuel prices are finally starting to kind of stabilize a little bit. They're getting into a point where we're looking at, and with summer coming on, they're going to drop even further in terms of energy costs, that kind of thing. Gasoline for your car, that whole thing. The working families that are out there. Going to be a very different story once fuel prices go down and the economic situation is better. The income levels are starting to catch up with what happened under Biden's economy, and prices are unsustainably high right now. There's a point at which you go to a restaurant. Used to be the 2 for $20 thing. Two people go out and eat for $20 plus plus whatever if you got a soda pop or whatever that was going to cost you another $3 or $4. But the idea was you could get two meals, two entrees for $20 in a sit down restaurant like Chili's, that kind of thing, like a chain restaurant. Now, what has happened now is it's 2 for $40 basically. And you're lucky to do that. You're lucky to get out of a normal sit down restaurant two people for $50. It's difficult to do that now, and. As you do that, of course, like I had a big argument, not an argument, but I had an exchange with a guy last night. It wasn't an argument. I'm fine with it. I don't care about the discount that much. I just wanted to remind the guy of it. Through my company, I get a discount at the hotel restaurant. So I ordered a cheeseburger, and very good cheeseburger. It's got it's got cheddar cheese. It's big burger with bacon and all kinds of stuff on it. It's just really good, and it's they don't sauce it up with too much crud. It's a good tasting burger. So anyway, no drink, just water. Had water, and I had my own water actually that I could fill my glass up with, because that's that way they don't you don't have to wait for somebody to come get you. I reminded him who I was with, and I said, I think we get a discount. He said, our system is down. We can't give discounts. Our system is down. Well, you have a discount system? Is that what it is? You can't just take the percentage off of your credit card charge? So if I pay cash, can you just give me a 20% discount on the credit? It's only a couple dollars anyway. It's only $3 or so. It's like, but okay, well, that's $3 that I would have given you as a tip, probably, maybe. So I guess if your system is down, I don't know what kind of system is down. I didn't understand that whole thing. I thought, well, maybe they can't even take a credit card. He didn't say anything about that. So he did take a credit card. What system is it? Your system is down. Your calculator? You can't figure out what 20% is? I don't know. So anyway, I paid it. Didn't care. I'll talk to the front desk about it this morning. And I didn't argue with him about it. I was fine with him. I said, okay, good, yeah, whatever. But we'll find out how this is supposed to be worked out with these people. I don't know. Something's going to happen, but we'll see what happens. In the meantime, what was I talking about there with that whole thing? The economic situation. Now you can't really even go out to dinner for less than 20. One person can't hardly have a dinner for less than $20. I think I had a regular meal at a Chick-fil-A recently, a breakfast meal. I think it was $13. Maybe it wasn't a breakfast meal. It might have been a regular. It was a Cobb salad. A Cobb salad at Chick-fil-A with a sweet tea, and it was $13, I think, something like that. It was a grilled chicken salad. It was kind of crazy. That was ridiculous. Anyway, what else did I have? I had something else the other day that was. Oh yeah, I ate at a Chinese. It was at the airport. You can't count airport food because they get charged. The restaurant gets charged taxes. They get charged all kinds of fees for being there, and some airports are very expensive to lease space. So they have to charge an exorbitant amount of money even just to make it there to get by. And of course, the convenience of having something to eat there at the restaurant at the airport is you have to pay for that. It's not like they just. Yeah, so it's just one of those things. And the If you're lucky if you can find anything for less than, a meal for less than $20 at an airport anywhere. Even I think even McDonald's charges more than most places do. Now I can get a bagel, breakfast bagel for I think $6 or $7 at the off-brand places. You go to McDonald's next door and it's busier than all get out. And there's literally a place in Chicago where there's a bagel shop right next to a McDonald's. The McDonald's is busy all day long. Got a line there all day long. The bagel shop, you can walk in, you're like number one or two in line. You just tell them what you want and they make it and you're out the door. It's all made fresh right there. They make everything there. So it's a much better food in my opinion. And it's about $2 or $3 less than you could get something at McDonald's. But nobody knows that. You know, everybody thinks they see a McDonald's, they go to McDonald's, and they just have no idea what the place next door is, and they don't really do a good job of competing with them. They just anyway. But they're getting by. So and they also fix regular meals. They get a regular like a grill there that they can actually make stuff. Anyway, my point being, economically, we're at a point where people are going to stop paying that. Restaurants are not as full as they used to be. The help has come back. They've got help there now. They're looking for business now. There are some restaurants that are busy, Texas Roadhouse being one of them. Texas Roadhouse is still pretty affordable for the kind of food you get. It's good food, and it's not terribly expensive. It's still expensive, but not as bad. So they're booming. However, not every restaurant is that way. Olive Garden is typically not as busy, not as full. Red Lobster it's hard to find one now. And the ones that are still open are not terribly busy. They just have not been able to pull through. A lot of that's because of the service that they provide, and the food just hasn't been that great. In most of them. Now, there's a few that are still decent. They're still out there. But so restaurants in general, are going to have to drop their prices, or at least maintain something better to offer for the price that they're charging, and it's going to have to happen because it's expensive to eat out right now. And I'm seeing it all over the country. Restaurants are not as busy as they used to be, and it's not just a seasonal thing. This is for the season. They should be busier than they are, and they're not. So it's an interesting thing that's going on with them. And I think that the word is affordability. Everybody's talking about affordability, and that's what the Democrats are going to be on. It's the whole affordability mantra that you're going to hear is what you're going to hear from here on into 2026, into the midterms, and of course even into the 2028 election. It's going to be, but there'll probably be different buzzwords by then. But in the meantime, for the 2026 election, affordability is going to be one of their main things. And it's because they can't talk about inflation. Inflation was because they've come up with this affordability word because it deflects from inflation. It deflects from all the other things that they messed up during the Biden administration. And in fact, they pounced down on the economy during the Obama administration. The Obama administration, basically he was saying, well, we're never going to see GDP growth again over 2%. That's just not going to happen. We're going to have a magic wand, that whole thing that he was talking about with Trump. There are people now, there are like legitimate folks out there who are saying we could actually see GDP growth within the next year and a half, that we could see GDP growth of over 5%. That is absolute. We're going to set records, in my opinion, of GDP growth in this country because of the kind of things that are happening, and a lot of it's because of the tariffs. Now, I'm going to get back to this whole tariff thing. I'm going to just hit on it really, really quickly. The Dems are saying, well, see, the Supreme Court's ruled that the tariffs were illegal. That's not what they said. His tariffs were illegal. He should return all the money to the American taxpayers. No, it wasn't the American taxpayers that were charged by the tariff. It was the American taxpayers paid maybe higher amount of money in products and services and goods because of the tariffs. It wasn't they didn't get charged directly for the tariff. If you return the money for the tariffs, it goes back to the companies
that were passing those tariffs along to. But that whole idea is stupid because that's not what happened with the tariffs. The tariffs did not increase the cost of living. They might have increased the cost of some goods and some products. The cost of living did not go up during this time. In fact, it balanced out in a way that brought about, it had this weird effect that nobody expected, except I think possibly for Burchett, or Merchette, what the guy's name is? Burchett? What the guy's name is? The guy who was behind the whole thing. There was two guys actually behind this whole thing. It was two of Trump's financial guys. The mastermind behind the tariff idea was a different guy, but they were both on the same team on that one. And brilliant, in my opinion, brilliant with what they did with that. Now, so Trump comes out afterwards and says, "I'm raising the tariff rate now," because he does have the ability to charge tariffs. The way he was negotiating, what the act that he was doing it under. Was the problem? The problem was he wasn't doing it under the proper authoritative stance that he took on it. Was I have the authority under this particular rule? Well, he doesn't under that particular rule. He does under another rule, and so therefore he can still charge the tariffs. And in fact, he raised the tariffs to 15% just to show that he's the boss. They knew going into this thing that they might lose this the case on their standing on what they had, where they were standing on the tariff issue. But they also knew that there was a backup plan, and that's that they were way ahead of this whole thing. And of course, that's why he then came out and with the whole tariff thing again. So it's he's balancing trade around the world, trying to make things fair. And again, he reminds people, he goes to these foreign places, you know, it's just like Taiwan. Somebody said something about, asking him the question about what he thought about the comments that AOC made about Taiwan. Because she basically was talking about how that was the question she stammered and stumbled on, and she wasn't sure what to say about it. And of course, Trump basically said, "I wouldn't answer a question like that. It's none of their business. I don't answer the question." Besides the fact that then he starts talking about how people need to pay for their, you know, when we act as their protectors, they need to pay for that. It's can't be doing this stuff for free. We are the world's police. We protect Europe, and of course, then that gives them the cover to provide all these social programs, and they should be paying for their defense. We're paying for our defense, and then they point the finger at us and say, "Oh, see, you're the wealthiest country in the world, and you don't have health care." It's like, just again, it's just one of those things where they like to use this kind of thing all the time as their ability to do it. Anyway, this I've got to get going. I really literally have to get going. It's time. My time is up. My time has come. Because I got to get some chai before I go on this last. Trip home to Chicago here. So anyway, we'll see how that works out this morning with all the stuff that's all messed up. We'll see how the flights are going. I don't know how they're going this morning. We will have to find out. Anyway, the point being, have a great week ahead of you. You get the whole week ahead of you here, and I hope you have a great week. Hope you have a great day, the rest of your day here today and the rest of your week. As we go into the rest of the week, I will be back tomorrow morning with a regular show, and the whole AI team will be here to discuss things, and there'll be some callers calling in to see how things go. In the meantime, I hope you have a great rest of your day. God bless. Have a great great day. That's all I'm going to say. Great day. That's a great day. See ya. See ya.